Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Chaf Dalid. We're in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting this morning at the two dots v'chachamim marmim bekesef ayde atzma. How is an Eved Kenani going to be yotze? We are now moving on to the sugya of Eved Kenani. We moved on to the sugya of Eved Kenani yesterday's daf in Chaf Beis. So we introduced ourselves to the world of Eved Kenani. First part of the Masechta talked about Kinyan Isha. Second part of the parak talked about Kinyan Eved Ivri. That was Yudal to Chav Beis, and starting in yesterday's daf, really 2 days ago. So now we're up to Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani is an actual Eved. So where you own, so how do you acquire him, and how does he go free? So acquisition of the Eved Kenani, so that is Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Actually, there's also Chalipin. Actually, there's also Meshicha. Okay, whether or not there's Hagbah, open for debate. Okay, in terms of how the Eved Kenani is going to be Kones Atzmo, so there are a couple problems. Number one, you give the Eved Kenani money so that he can redeem himself, that he can free himself. So to pay for himself, the problem is that when you give money, so it goes to his owner, right? Well, that maybe. So what we saw in the Mishnah is that he could release himself using either Kesef or Shtar. Now it's just a question of who do you give the Kesef to? Who do you give the Shtar to? So in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So what we did yesterday is we went through the sheet of Rebbe Meir. Okay, so please go back to yesterday, go review Rebbe Meir. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to move on to the Chachamim. The Chachamim Omrim Pekesev Ayde Atzmo. So right away, we're starting on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are at the two dots. According to the Chachamim, Kesev Ayde Atzmo. So Kesev Ayde Atzmo, and Ayde Acherim Lo. So Amai. So the Gemara says, now, Kesef Ayde Atzmo means that what you're going to do with the money is you're going to give him the Eved Kenani money so that he can free himself. So the Gemara says, and him, meaning, but Ayde Acherim Lo, but it can't be done through a third party? I don't understand. So Nihinami Dishalamidato. So the Gemara says, even if it is without consent, Michvi Shamin Lul Rabbanan Dami Zechusu Shiyetim Mitachz Yad Rabba Lecheros. So once again, we go back to the Gemara in Gittin. Yesterday we did it, today we're doing it again. The Gemara in Gittin deliberates as to whether or not an Eved Kenani going free is in fact considered a full Zechus with no Chofa to it whatsoever. In the Gemara in Gittin, it happens to be a Machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Chachamim are of the opinion that Zechusu, that going free, even though going free has with it responsibility, nevertheless, is Chos. Much better to be in a position of being emancipated than being an Eved Kenani. Okay, again, we went over this point yesterday in terms of why Reb Meir disagrees with that and what is the svar behind Reb Meir. But meanwhile, we're within the shita of the Chachamim and they hold it as a zechus. So you don't even need consent. So without consent, you can free him. Meaning, you don't have to give him the money. It could be done ayde acher. It could be done through a third party. It doesn't even need his consent. He'd be happy, according to the Chachamim, to be freed. So I don't understand when the Chachamim and the Mishnah says that it's kesef, but only al yidei atzmo, but not al yidei acher. The Gemara says, I can't wrap my head around the idea. Why not? So, v'chitem my al yidei atzmo, af al yidei atzmo. Okay, so here's what I'll try to do. I'll try to read it into the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says al yidei atzmo, really what we're reading into the Mishnah is af al yidei atzmo. You can give kesef to the Eved Kenani himself, or alternatively, you can just simply pay the owner directly as a third party, as a sponsor, and that'd be fine. So, and the Gemara says, kamash v'lan diyesh kinyan l'eved below rabo. And maybe the only point of the Mishnah is that you could do it directly to the owner, or you can give the Eved Kenani money himself. The Eved Kenani, you can give him money to the exclusion of his owner. Yeah, you could do that. Maybe that's the entire point of the Mishnah. Ihachi Masefa, the Gemara says, yeah, but it's hard for me to read the Mishnah that way. Consider the second part of the Mishnah. So Bishar Yideacherim, when we're talking about starts, Al Yideacherim. So Velo Yideatmo, and not through yourself, Akamalan Digitaviyadabim Keachad. I don't understand. It says shtar can be done ayde acherim, meaning that what do you do in order to free him? A shtar. A shtar is going to be written up, and you can give it to somebody else. And and not by himself. The Gemara says, what do you mean not by himself? Meaning the owner now wants to free his Eved Kenani, writes up a shtar, hands it to his Eved Kenani. You mean to tell me that he's not going to go free? We have the principle of Gito V'yado Baim Ge'echad, that when you hand him the shtar, you know what happens? Two things concurrently. Number one, he receives his hand and his freedom. In other words, without his freedom, he wouldn't have his hand. But without his hand, he won't get his freedom. Right? Let's say there's a rub. But the resolution is Gita V'yada Baim Ke'echad, that they're coming concurrently. So and everyone agrees to that. So in the Mishnah, when you're reading the words of Shtar Al Yidei Acherim, that the Shtar only works when you give it to an Acher, well, that's not true. In other words, if I gave the Shtar to him, it works as well. V'chitema my Al Yidei Acherim, Af Al Yidei Acherim, V'akam Ashlan, D'zchutu Lev, V'shiyetem Yad Rabba L'cheros, So we hachi navina benistinu. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's how you want to read the Mishnah, right? Kesef is works ayde acherim ayde atzma. Shtar works ayde acherim ayde atzma. Meaning that's how you want to read the Mishnah, right? If that's how you want to read the Mishnah, the Gemara says, so let's go back and let's think about how to write the Mishnah. Both work bein ayde atzma, bein ayde acherim. You know how the Mishnah should have been written? Navina benistinu. Because of a vishtar, bein ayde acherim, bein ayde atzma. The clearest way for the Mishnah to communicate this information to us is to have written simply that whether it comes to money or whether it comes to shtar, it works whether you give it to him or whether you give it to a third party. That's how the Mishnah should have been written. The Mishnah did not write it that way. The Mishnah was clearly trying to show contrast between kesef and shtar. So the Gemara says it must be that there must we're not reading the Mishnah correctly. Where did we go wrong in reading the Mishnah? Ella. Kesef bein ayide acherim bein ayide atzmo. Okay, so here's how we're going to have to read the Mishnah. When it comes to kesef, so kesef works, period. Period. It doesn't matter who you give the kesef to. You can be acting as a third party, giving the kesef directly to the owner. You could be giving the kesef to the Eved Kenani. When it comes to kesef, it works, period. Shtar ayide acherim v'lo ayide atzmo. Now, as far as the next line of the Mishnah, now, I alluded to this point yesterday, but let's say it now out loud. What the Mishnah now is doing is that it's really introducing a third opinion. Okay, meaning that we in our Mishnah, we have Rameir and the Chachamim. Now, as we're unpacking the Mishnah, it's Rameir, it's a Chachamim, and it's actually encrypted in the Mishnah, a third opinion. Okay, Rameir's position we went over yesterday, we're not going to go over again right now. The Chachamim's position now is that Kesef and Shtar work, and it doesn't matter. The Kesef works whether you give it to him or give it to the Eved Kenani or give it to the owner. Shtar, same thing. Okay, and now, and when the Mishnah then says, then by Shtar you should know that it only works when you do it, Ayideh Acherim, but not Ayideh Atzmo, that introduces us now to a third opinion in the Mishnah. You have to read it into the Mishnah. Ah. And the Gemara says, Bishtar al Yidei Acherim, lo Yidei Atzma, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar here. That's the Shita Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Detain Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af Bishtar al Yidei Acherim, lo Yidei Atzma. Shtar al Yidei Acherim, and not al Yidei Atzma. Now,
Rabbi, forgive me, please, for interrupting. I just came in. Where are you up?
We're in the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph.
Thank you.
So what comes out now is that we have a third opinion in the Mishnah. Now, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so is that he subscribes, and this is Rashi's explanation, he does not subscribe to the principle of Gita V'yada Baim Ke'achad. Okay. In other words, if you reject that principle, so then you can't give the shtar to the Eved Kenani. Right? Consider. Everything you give to the Eved Kenani goes right back to the owner. Okay, so you give him money, goes to the owner. In other words, there's nothing you can give the Eved Kenani. But what about the shtar that frees him? Yeah, the problem is that it's only going to free him when he acquires the shtar. But giving it to him is like giving it to the owner. It simply doesn't work. And once you reject the principle of Gita V'yada Baim Ke'echad, so then the only way shtar is a mechanism, but the only way it works is if you give it to somebody else who's going to accept it on behalf of the Eved Kenani, but you can't give it to the Eved Kenani himself. That's the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That is alluded to in the last point of the Mishnah. And so therefore, what you have now in the Mishnah is Rav Meir, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay. And now, what I'm not going to do, because we're so behind, but what I'm going to encourage is that you read the Rashi. Rashi, V'shalosh Machlokes B'davar, right? Which is, I don't know if I read that in the Gemara, but now I just did. In other words, the Gemara now acknowledges that there are three positions. Rashi over here goes through all three positions, Rameir, Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay? Effectively, we did it as well. I really didn't spend any time this morning on Rabbi Meir. We're going to go on. I'm a rabbi, my Talmud, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that in order for Shtar to work, so what do you have to do? You have to give it to Acher. In other words, it has to be via a third party. It cannot be done directly with the Evakanani. So, Gamar, La Lamisha. So, he learns it out through a Gzereshava. Ma Isha, Achiyotzi, Get L'Rishusha Eino Shalom. Av Evanami, Achiyotzi, Get L'Rishusha Eino Shalom. So when it comes to a get isha, how does it work? We spent a masechta talking about it. What the husband has to do is he has to take the get and put it in her possession. Vinasan biyada, meaning her possession to the exclusion of his. When you do the same thing with an evikanani to free him, you have to do the same thing. You have to put it in a place where it doesn't belong to the owner. I have to put it in somewhere where it's not my possession. So, and the problem, of course, in other words, in here, we made this distinction numerous times. Let's say it again. The basic difference between Isha and Evakanani, aside from ownership, non-ownership, aside from that. In other words, when it comes to Isha, she's an independent. In other words, when you give something to her, it can be given to her to the exclusion of her husband. But an Evakanani can be done. Evakanani, Mashakana, Evakana Rabba. Everything that he comes into possession automatically goes to the owner. So, right? So the conundrum. Meaning, how am I going to be Meshachra, my Evakanani, in the event that I want to, for whatever reason? Okay, another topic for another time. But in the event that you want to be Meshachra him, so what do? I got to put it in a place where it doesn't belong to me. Handing it to my Evakanani, and I don't subscribe to Gita V'yadu Baim Ke'echad, so every time I put it in his hand, it basically comes right back to me. That's not the mechanics of how a get works. So what do you have to do? So according to Rav Shimon Elazar, it has to be Ayideh Acher. By Rabbah, one more follow-up question within the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, as we turn to the Amud Beis. So, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Evakanani, Mashiach, Shlech, Kabal, Gito, Miyad, Rabbah, Evakanani. So, can a Shlech be done? Le Kabal, Gito, Miyad, Rabbah. So, can he be functioning as a Shlech? So, the... So, Kevin Degamar La Lami Isha Kisha. So, on one hand, again, we just learned that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, so he learns it out via Gzereshava, comparing it to a woman. So, and we know that a woman can make a shliach in order to be mekabel get. Odilma Isha Di Matzim mekabel Gita Shliach Nami Matzim Meshavia. Evidiu Lo mekabel Gita Shliach Nami La Matzim Meshavia. But here's where the comparison is going to fall apart, because when we start with an isha, so an isha can accept her own get, therefore she can set up a shliach. And Evakanani, on the other hand, who cannot accept his own get, so maybe he can't operate as a shliach. Okay, so it really is the Gemara does not need my haskama. It is a good question within the Shita Rishim and Elazar. So Basa Dabai, Hadar Pasha, La Lam Isha, Ki Isha. And the Gemara says, okay, so I hear the question, but at the same time, full comparison to that of a woman. Just like a woman can be Meshavi Shliach, so to the Evadi, Kanani can be Meshavi Shliach. Right, you're seeing it. It's so good. It really is a good question. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's see if we can probe this point just even a little bit further. And that is a question that we discussed this back in Nedarim. In fact, it's the exact same question that we asked in Nedarim. So when the Kohanim are doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so they are emissaries. Emissaries of, well, there are two choices. In other words, we are trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't do the Avodah. The Kohanim can do the Avodah. So the Kohanim are operating on our behalf. Alternatively, no. In other words, the Kohanim are operating on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who are they serving as a Shliach of? That's the Gemara Nedarim's question. Hani Kohanim Shluchah D'Rachman Enin D'Yis HaKadach Shluchah D'Dan Enu. So me ika me di dano la matzina avdina ve'inu matzi avde. So the Gemara there in Nedarim concludes. We're running right now to the conclusion, which is that the Kohanim are serving not as our shliach, but rather the shluchei derachmana. They're serving as God's shliach, and I'll tell you why. Says the Gemara in Nedarim, And our Gemara over here is repeating it. We can't do the avoda. Meaning, I say we, I'm talking about us non-Kohanim. So we can't, any non-Kohen doing the avoda is chayv misa. So we can't do the avoda. So nobody can be doing something on our behalf for something that we ourselves cannot do. So now we're just we're resetting the question. How can an Eved Kenani be serving as a shliach for somebody else when he himself cannot be mekabel the shtar shichur? Okay, it's beautiful. We just reset the question now that we know a kohen can't be serving as our shliach. So the Gemara says, it's good velohi, but it's not good. In other words, the comparison between the two is not good. Why? Because Yisrael lo sheich b'taras karbanos klal. Because when it comes to us and the avoda, we mamish have no sheichus. We simply cannot do the avoda. There are no exceptions. There are no exclusions. There are no carve-outs. Now, I say that, by the way, I will point out, just parenthetical note, so we could do shechita. But the reason why we could do shechita is shechita lav avoda. Okay, anyway. But regarding the rest of the avoda, so we cannot do it, period. Nothing to discuss. Masha'en came when it comes to an Eved Lagabe Get, Eved Shaykh Begitten. Detanya near Madvarim Sheved Mekabel Gitto Shel Chaver Miyad Rabba Shel Chavero. So Avalo Miyad Rabba Shalom. All right? An Eved Kenani can be accepting a get on behalf of another Eved Kenani. That would work. Now it gets a little bit tricky when you really think this through, right? And you dig down and you think it through, it does admittedly get tricky. An Eved Kenani can accept a shtar shichur on behalf of another Eved Kenani. True. But how does that work? In other words, when you're an Eved Kenani accepting the shtar shichur on behalf of somebody else, so really the moment it gets into your hands, it really goes to your owner's hands. Okay, so but the point is that there is at least shaychus. When it comes to us and avoda, zero shaychus. When it comes to an Eved Kenani and a get shichur, there is some shaychus. Okay. Okay.
I don't understand why I didn't ask you the way I asked it. If you say Shliach Olam Kamosa, then how can you it makes, didn't have to come to Kohanim and so on, could not say.
Right, in other words, he's no better than you yourself.
Right, so
I know, right?
Why didn't ask that?
Okay, fair. Okay, I don't know. Okay, we have but one more hill to climb in terms of this discussion regarding whether or not there can be a kinyan of a Eved to the exclusion of his owner. So once again, we're going back to the Mishnah, we're resetting. Machlokis in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So the, and that is that according to the Sheet of the Chachamim, so Kesef will work. Kesef can be given directly to the Eved Kenani, provided that his owner is excluded from that money. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, can be done. You can give money to the Eved Kenani to the exclusion of his owner. So, on that, the Gemara now makes the following observation. Nema, b'hakemiflegi. We have in our Mishnah Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Let us set up the Machlokes. And as Rav Meir, Safra, Enkin Yilevin below Rabbo, Enkin Yilishin below Baila, Rabban and Safra, Yeshkin Yilevin below Rabbo, V'yeshkin Yen Leisha below Baila. Okay, and so maybe we're debating this very point. According to Rav Meir, so it is just simply impossible to give something to the Eved to the exclusion of his owner. Everything, by definition, is just simply going to automatically defer to the owner. And not only is that true in the Eved-Rabba relationship, the Gemara is assuming the same thing is going to be true in the Isha-Baila relationship. Now again, as we already pointed out, Isha-Baila relationship is different fundamentally than that of the Eved Rabba relationship. But we are only speaking financially. And the Gemara right now is assuming that financially speaking, so they're going to operate in the same manner. Just like, according to Rabbi Meir, nothing can be given to the Eved that's not going to go to the owner. Same thing is true regarding husband and wife relationship as well. That would be Shitas Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim would tell you, no. You can give something to the Eved to the exclusion of the owner. You can give something to the wife to the exclusion of her husband. Okay? That is how we're setting up the machlokas. If that's correct, so now what's going to happen is we're going to walk right into a problem. And this is what's called the Gemara setting us up. So, good. So, Amar Rav Sheshes. Yeah. So Amar Rabba Amar Rav Sheshet to Kuli Amen Kinyan Leve Below Rabba Vein Kinyan Lisha Below Baila. So the Gemara says, I don't know if it really operates that fundamentally. Meaning, maybe I'll tell you that everyone is of the position that money is given to the Eved automatically go to the owner. Same thing regarding wife and her husband. And v'hacha b'mayaskina and da'aknilei achamana v'amalei amanasha indel rabcha rishus bo. Over here, tonight. And the question is whether or not tonight would work. Rabbi Meir said, v'ki amalei k'ni, k'ni eva v'ki rabbe v'chi amalei amanas, lo klum k'amalei. Rabbi Meir will tell you that tonight doesn't work. Simple. In other words, monies will go to the owner. Money will go to the husband. Period. You want to make it tonight? Tonight doesn't help in such a scenario. And the Chachamim will tell you that no, an amanas would work. Okay, and tonight would work. Okay, so right now this is a much more subtle way of explaining the machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. In other words, the default setting is that monies always go to the owner and money always goes to the husband. That's the default setting. And then just a question of whether or not a tanai can override that. Reb Meir says that tanai cannot. And the Chachamim say tonight can. That's one way to see the machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lazar Amar Kol Ki Ay Gavne De Kuli Amar Lo Pligi De Kani Eved Kani Rabbe. So and according to Rabbi Lazar the Amora, he says no. Even when you make it tonight does not help. In other words, the default setting is that money goes to the owner and money goes to the husband. And even beyond the default setting, even if I try to make it tonight, it doesn't work.
So he's saying the same thing that Rabbi Meir is saying. You know, what's the difference?
Wait. Let's finish. The kule amar lo pligi dekani eved velekani rabbe. V'hachem amayiskin gagon da'akni lei acher mane. Amar lei amanasha teitzeh bo lecheros. Rabbi Meir savor ki amar lei kani eved kani rabbe. V'chi amar lei amanas lo klum kamar lei. According to Rabbi Lazar, let's say you earmark the money. Meaning we know who the money's going to go to. Money's going to go to the owner. But in other words, what you do is you earmark the money in terms of what its purpose is going to be. Is that going to help? Rabbi Meir will tell you, no. Conditions are not going to help, and earmarking the money is not going to help as well. Nothing will help. Meaning when I hand the money to the Eved, I say, hey, here. So handing it to the Eved would be no different than handing it to the owner. In fact, halachically, that's exactly what just happened. You made a condition, sehelfnisht. You earmarked the money, same thing. To health nish. And according to the Chachamim v'Rabbanan Tzavrei, l'didei nami halo kamakni lei, da halo amr lei, ela amanasha tatsila bo l'chiris. And the Chachamim will tell you, look, even though conditions don't work, but earmarking the money works. Meaning that when I give the money and I say, here's its purpose, so then that'll work. And so that's Rav Elazar's understanding of the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So, What we just had, admittedly, by the way, a lot of moving parts. It's a little bit complicated. We have in our Mishnah machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of what happens when you give money to the Eved. Does it immediately de facto go to the owner or maybe not? So at first glance, it's a simple machlokas in terms of whether it does or does not know. Can the Eved Kanani retain the money? Is it conceivable? And that's a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And the Gemara just presented two alternate ways to see the machlokas, where the machlokas is much more slimmed down, if you will, and is much more limited. Okay. Rami de Ramera de Ramer, Rami de Rabbana de Tanya. Okay. We're really moving that quickly. Good. We need to. So, Eini Shapod de Meister Shane below Chamesh, Rabbi Shem Amelazar, Rabbi Shem Rameri Shapod de Meister Shane below Chamesh. Okay. So, in order to appreciate right now, what we're going to do is we're going to walk into a stira. Between the shitas of both Rav Meir and the Chacham, and before we do that, so let's do a little bit of setup. We're talking about Maaser Sheni. How does Maaser Sheni work? So annually, well, not every year, but on the Shemitah schedule in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so that second 10% is what's going to be Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is going to have Kedusha. You're going to take the Maaser Sheni produce, you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim, you're going to eat in Yerushalayim. Admittedly, it's a bit of a challenge. So what you can do is you could be Podeh, the Maaser Sheni. And that is transfer the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni onto money. Now, all we need to know to appreciate the Gemara, there are a lot of details over here that we're not going to go through, but the one detail that we need to know is the following. If you're poda your own Maaser Sheni, you have to add a Chomesh, 25%. Okay. If you are sponsoring somebody else's Meister Sheni, you're poed to be somebody else's Meister Sheni, you don't have to add a chumash. That's the only halacha right now that we need to focus on. With that stated, a wife is now being podeh, the Meister Sheni of her husband. Does she need to add a chumash, yes or no? The Mishnah in Meister Sheni, I'm just fact-checking myself. It's a Mishnah? No. Okay. I wasn't terribly off, but it's a Braisa. The Braisa regarding Meister Sheni brings down a machlokas on this very issue. So the according to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, you have to add a chamesh according to the Chachamim and according to Rab Meir. So isha poda meister sheni below chamesh. You don't have to add on a chamesh. So now, in order for this to be a stira, so there are a couple of points that need to be clarified. The Braisa doesn't give us a lot of information. We're really not at this point in time perfectly familiar with the context of what's happening over here. And so therefore the Gemara is going to speculate. Ilema. So the Gemara says, now whose Meister Sheni is it? Well, the husband's. Well, whose money is it? Well, it's the husband's. The Gemara says, well, that can't be. In other words, now what is she doing? She's basically just acting as an agent. But in other words, but of course you have to add a chomish. Pasha. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela b'zuzi didao meister didei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the money belongs to her and the meister belongs to him. So isha marachmane v'lo isha. Well, if that were true, so then there would be no requirement to add a chomesh because we have a drasha. Now, to be fair, by the way, this part also I'll point you in the right direction. The Gemara just tells us that ish v'lo isha. A man adds a chomesh but not a woman. What exactly is that drasha? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi is very short. Take a look at Tosos. Tosos is not that short. But a real discussion, a healthy discussion amongst the Rishonim, exactly how this drasha works. For our purposes right now, just to say a simple pshat in the Gemara, a woman doesn't have to add chumash. Okay? If she is redeeming her husband's Meister Sheni. Let's just keep it simple like that. Okay, so so the Gemara says, okay, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to understand what's happening here in the Braisa talking about the Meister Sheni and whether or not the woman does or does not need to add a chomesh. What are the circumstances? So finally the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they are. So here's what happened. The Meister Sheni belonged to the husband. Someone went over to the wife and said, look, right, husband's such a good guy, right? I'm sponsoring the Pidyon Meister Sheni. And he gives the wife the money in order so that the money now can be used for sponsorship purposes. Okay, good. So now that money is whose money? Well, obviously sponsored by a third party. But he gave it to the wife for sponsorship purposes. Okay. So here's the Gemara's thought process. The Gemara thinks now that the Chachamim will tell you. So do you know who that money belongs to? Belongs to her. In other words, because it's possible to give money to her to the exclusion of her husband. And what Reb Meir will tell you, no, I'm sorry. Opposite. Everything I just said, but opposite. The Chachamim will tell you that, you know whose money that now is? It's the husband's money. Right? In other words, when you give it to the wife, it immediately goes to the husband. Therefore, who is now being poda? The owner of the Meister Sheni. Therefore, you have to give a chomish. Okay. Right? That's the double negative of the Tanakama. In isha poda Meister Sheni below chomish. Okay. That would be the sheet of the Chachamim. Rameir will tell you, no. When you give the money to the wife, you can't give the money to the exclusion of the husband. And therefore, it is not the husband's money, and therefore you don't have to add a chomish. Now, if what I said is all correct, and I understand that's a lot of speculation regarding the circumstances of the Braisa, but if that's all correct, that is exactly the opposite as the way we set up our Mishnah here in Kiddushin. We set up the Mishnah and Kedushin that according to Rav Meir, everything that goes to the wife will immediately de facto default go to the husband. And according to the Chachamim, no, you can give something to the wife to the exclusion of the husband. And so now, if we're learning the Mishnah here in Kedushin correctly, it is the opposite of the Braisa regarding Maaser Sheni. So I'm Rabbi Epoch, so Abai will tell you, okay, obviously we don't like that, so flip. Presumably he's going to flip over here the Braisa, right? In other words, if anything is flippable, Braisas are more flippable than that of Mishnayos. Okay, anyway, so what Abai does is he flips the Braisa, and now that the positions in the Braisa are flipped, we now have a match. They complement one another. So Rava Amar Lo Lam Lo Tepach, and Rava says, no, don't flip it. And remember, my doctoral thesis, which I'm never writing, but at least I'm thinking about it, and that is that Abaye is more open to the idea of editing and touching up Mishnayos and Braisos, and Rava, right, much more conservative, but conservative over here, meaning lowercase c, meaning not ready to touch anything up. If it needs reinterpretation, we'll do it. But in other words, let's not tinker with the nusach as we have it. Okay, over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about the circumstances are not the way we presented it. Meaning, remember, we speculated a lot of what the case of the Maaser Sheni is. So the Gemara says, okay, so what Rava will tell you is, we got the case wrong. What happened is the following. The Maaser Sheni belongs to the wife. Well, Maaser Sheni belonged to the wife. What happened? She inherited the Maaser Sheni. She had parents, whatever. She had relatives who were in possession of Maaser Sheni. They died. The Maaser Sheni came to her. Now, this is an interesting question. Inheriting Maaser Sheni, is that an asset? Well, it really comes to the fundamental question of, what is Maaser Sheni? Is it Mamon Hejo or is it Mamon Gavoa? If that sounds familiar, it's because the Gemara raises this question all the time. So the Asmi Bein Asher asking in Rav Meir the time Edamer Maaser Sheni Mamon Hekdesh V'lo Kan Le'Baal. Beautiful. So according to Rav Meir now, so this Maaser Sheni that she inherited it, so it's not really an asset. In other words, it's not part of the estate. It happens to be included in the estate, but it's not part of the estate. So that money doesn't belong to her, and therefore now when redeeming that money, so she's not the owner. So V'Rabbanan Le'Tamai Edamer Mamon Hekdesh Hu. Beautiful. And according to the Chachamim, it's Mamon Hejot. It's included in the estate. It's part of the estate. Aye. And now she inherited the estate and she's married. So now who is also now part ownership of the estate? The husband. So now when he's being poda that Maaser Sheni, what is he being poda? His own Maaser Sheni. Therefore, he has to add a Chomesh. That's the Machlokis regarding the Braisa. Having nothing to do with whether or not you can give money to the wife to the exclusion of the husband. Beautiful. Okay, that takes care of the first half of today's daf. Okay, we're going to put a mark over here. We're going to pause for just a moment. We've concluded. Okay, a really lengthy, healthy discussion in the Gemara that we just covered. Almost a full daf of whether or not an Eved Kenani, when you are freeing the Eved Kenani, it can be done through Kesef, it can be done through Shtar. It's just the detail of how. How do you give the Eved Kenani Kesef and that money actually be his so that he could be Meshachar himself with that money? Same question regarding Shtar. Can it be given to him? Does it have to be given to somebody else? And so what we learned over the course of the last daf is it's a three-way machlokas between Rav Meir, the Chachamim, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar we were not introduced to in the Mishnah, but only in the Braisa, when we really struggled to just say simple pshat in the Mishnah. In order to eventually say a good pshat in the Mishnah, we had to break the Mishnah down not into two positions, but into three positions. So that is what we've been covering now for the last couple of days. We continue. We're in Chav Dalam and Aleph, and is there any other way for an Eved Kenani to be Meshachar? The answer is yes. Yes. Shein V'ayin. Okay, now that happens to be, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah describes that if the owner of the Eved Kenani knocks out either an eye or a tooth, so then the Eved Kenani goes free. Shein V'ayin. Okay, and so it is an obvious curiosity. You know, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Why didn't the Mishnah go over this information with us? Meaning, right? The Mishnah tells us, how does an Eved Kenani go free? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you how. Kesef, Shtar. What about Shein V'ayin? Now, a simple response to that question would be is that the Mishnah is the Torah Sheba Peh, meaning that the Mishnah, of course, assumes that we know the Torah Shebechsav, we know our Pesukim in Chumash, and now it's just a question of supplementing the information with more information. Things you wouldn't have known because it's not in the Torah. Okay? Tosos, actually, in the very bottom of our Amud Chavdal Amud Aleph, says there's another reason why the Mishnah didn't mention Shein V'ayin. It's a very short Tosos, but before we do it, let's first do the Gemara. I'll come back to the Tosos a little bit later. It's called the tease. Okay, so Tana Yotze B'Shein V'ayin Rashi V'Rashi Evarim Shein M'Chozrim. Okay, so Yotze B'Shein V'ayin and Rashi Evarim. Okay, there are 24 extremities, right? 10 fingers, 10 toes. That already gets you to 20. The ears, the eyes. 24. Nose. Teeth. Okay. I'm right now struggling in terms of how do you get to the number 24? Let me take a break, regroup, gather, and figure out how the number became 24. Anyway, okay. The point is that any one of the extremities is knocked out by the owner, so the eved can only goes free. So okay. So anyway, so Bishlam Hashem V'ayin. Yeah. Okay. Bishlam Hashem V'ayin. So Ksive. So the Gemara says now Shein V'ayin is a pasuk in the Torah. I haven't yet cited the pasuk. It's not too late. It's in fact, pretty much on time. We're in Parshas Mishpatim. We're in Perachav Aleph. These are the pesukim of Chavav and Chav Zayin. V'chiyake ishes ein avdo. Oh, es ein amaso. V'shichaso lechavshish achenu taches eino. V'im shein avdo shein amaso yapil lechavshish achenu taches shino. So the Torah says that if I knock out an eye or I knock out a tooth, this is me just paraphrasing. So then your Eved or your Amma, right? Does not matter whether it's an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis, they're going to go free. Okay, period. Good. That's a pasuk in the Torah.
Missing the number of the 24. It says here it's a male member.
Oh, okay, fine. It happens to be the Gemara late, tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Okay, so the Gemara says, so Bishlam Hashem Shein V'ayin Ksive. So I understand Shein V'ayin, that's it's Kasav B'Torah. But El Rashi Evarim Minalan. So the Gemara says, well, what about Rashi Evarim? Meaning, where did that come from? So Dumi the Shein V'ayin, Ma Shein V'ayin, Momim Shebegal Vein Chozrin. So Avko Momim Shebegal Vein Chozrin. So the Gemara says, basically, Memotzinu. In other words, the Torah is giving us examples. And from there, what we can do, we can extrapolate. So it's going to be a tooth, it's going to be an eye. So, you know, those are parts of your body that are external and, in other words, can be knocked out. Now, you'll understand by the end of today's daf, when we say knock out, we don't mean physically the eye has to be actually gouged out of the head. Knocked out meaning functionally knocked out. By tooth, by the way, probably by tooth we mean actual knocked out. But anyway, so right now the Gemara's proposal is, it's a binyanav. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, you know, Binyanav, let me share with you, the Gemara does this many times. How does Binyanav work? Binyanav works where the Torah gives you an example, and from there we can go ahead and extrapolate. But if the Torah gives me one example, great. Thank you for that one example. Now we'll extrapolate. But if the Torah gives me two examples, so now that's a limitation. That Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ein Malamdin. So Tzricha, the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but Ikas of Rechman Hashem, Havamina, Afilu Shein Dechalav. So the Gemara says, no, it's necessary. I'll tell you why. Let's say the Torah would have just said Shein. I would have said Shein, even a baby tooth. Very, very cute the way the Gemara describes a baby tooth. Shein Dechalav, the milk tooth. Okay. The milk tooth is the tooth that the baby had. Right? Huh? Oh, okay, good. Baby, right? Milk tooth. Oh, good. So anyway, so I would have said that any tooth, meaning even a baby tooth. So kazer rachmana ayin. So that's why the Torah says ayin, meaning it's the organ that is going to be with you in adulthood. So if e kazer rachmana ayin have, I mean ma ayin shen ivreimo av kol shen ivreimo aval shen lo tzrich aval shen lo. So, but if the Torah would have only said ayin, I would have said ayin. You know, you're born with an ayin. right? By tooth, you're not born with a tooth. Okay, now I know the dentist will tell me you are born with your teeth. In other words, they're just submerged under the gum. Okay, the Gemara's point is still the same point, right? In other words, right? Another correct. Phil already knows what I'm going to say. In other words, what the Gemara's pointing to is that it has to be. You would have thought it had to have been visible at the time that you're born. So that's what the Shane comes to tell me. No, doesn't have to be. Okay, tzricha. Therefore, they're both necessary. So the aim. Okay, fine. And what comes out is as follows. Let me just wrap up the Gemara's point. Meaning, we do have the principle shnei ksuvim v'vayim ka'achayim alamdim. When the Torah gives two examples, we can't use it as a precedent. But these are not two disparate examples. In other words, these two are there to complement one another. I need each one of them to tell me a various aspect. So it's not shnei ksuvim v'vayim ka'achad, but really it's viewed as one large example. They just are necessary to complement one another. The Gemara says, okay, but we know the tools in the toolbox. The Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nijashas Behem. Maybe you should follow the pattern of Klal Uprat. And we all know the rule. Ein Bechlal Ella Masha Beprat. Only the examples and nothing more. How do I know that it includes anything beyond the tooth and the eye? So the Gemara says, V'chashiv V'shachenu Yeh, but read on the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk does go on to describe that he's going to go free. And that is Chazaru Klal. So that is now another Klal. We have the Prat bracketed between the two Klalim. So Klal Uprat Uklal I Atadan Ela Keina Prat. Maha Prat. Mefarash. Mum Shebegola Vein Chozrim. Afkol. Mum Shebegola Vein Chozrim. Beautiful. So what we have over here is the model of Klal Prat Uklal. And so therefore the examples in the middle are serving as prototypes. Anything that mimics the prototype is going to be included in Cheres HaEved. The Gemara goes on, Ima Prat Mefarash Mum Shebegaloi. So, Vebatam and Malachto. So, Eino Chozer Afkol Mum Shebegaloi Veino Chozer Vebatam and Malachto. So, the Gemara says, okay, but if it's a prototype, and in order for the Evikanan to go free, it has to match the prototype. So, let's talk about what's a match. It's got to be an organ. It's got to be Shebegaloi. It's got to be external. It has to be something that is once knocked out, cannot rehabilitate. So the Gemara says, if that's true, meaning if that's the, if those are the characteristics, so now consider. Alama Tanya, we have the following braisa, which is, tell us, bizikano dildabo etzem, so eved yosebam lecheres. So the Gemara says, let's say you do the following, and that is you yank on his beard. You're yanking so hard on the beard, you're dislocating the jaw. Okay, sounds unbelievably painful. So the Eved Yotze Bam Lecheres. The Eved is going to go free. So now, as far as the jawbone is concerned, the Gemara's assumption is now here. Obviously, the Gemara is asking a question. The Gemara's question is built on assumptions. So, what exactly are the assumptions? If you look at Rashi over here, so Im Etzem, I'm reading the Rashi. Im Etzem Sheinu Chozer Hu. The assumption of the Gemara is that that jawbone is not really doing much functionally. Okay. Again, I'm admitting I'm not fully understanding, but obviously that Rashi is helping us in terms of understanding what the assumption of the Gemara is. And yet you go free. And so therefore, we have a problem. We said that in order to go free, it has to be a match to the characteristics. The characteristics is that it's functional, and then it becomes dysfunctional. And meanwhile, the case of the jawbone doesn't match. So the chavshi yishachena ribui. So the Gemara says, yeah, but chavshi yishachena serves as a ribui. The way Rashi understands the Gemara over here is that what we're doing is that we're transitioning. Instead of doing klal prat, we're doing ribui miut. Just a couple of days ago, we noted the difference between klal prat versus ribui miut. Ribui miut is a much greater amplification. You don't need to be such a perfect match with the examples that are given. Once we're using methodology of ribui miut, it allows for broader incorporation of when does the Eved go free. So lechavshisha chena ribuyhu vi ribuyhu. So afilu he kali al yadav etzamta v'sof alachzor nami alamatanya he kali yadav etzamta v'sof alachzor enav yosei bolacheros. So let's say that you hit him on the hand. Now hit him on the hand samta, right? Some growth was growing on it. Meaning, I'm just going to guess. I don't know. In other words, maybe infected. Right, the hand was infected. Anyway, but what happened is that recovery. So ein eved yosei bolacheros, even though temporarily, you went ahead and basically you rendered his hand useless temporarily, but because it's going to heal and he's going to recover, he doesn't go free. But the Gemara says, but here's the problem. The problem is that you told me we're no longer operating with kol prat. We're now operating with ribui imiut. It's a much greater amplification. We're ready to include many other cases, even if it's not a perfect match. So let's include this one as well. Why are we excluding cases? So im kein shein vayin maya hanile. The Gemara says, yeah, I know, but even when you're using ribu yamiut, you can't ignore the fact that there are examples that are given. Examples that are cited are there to teach us something. I know we want to include more cases now that we're using ribu yamiut, but something has to be excluded. Okay. Adkan. Takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. So we're now introduced to Shein Va'ayin and Rashi Evarim. Shein Va'ayin, Rashi Evarim. If the Ado knocks out any one of those, the Evikanani goes free. But there's a lot more details. All we've done so far is just explain how do we know that it's not limited to Shein Va'ayin. Still many more details. Let's go a little bit further today. Tanu Rabbanan Bekul on Eved Yosei Ben Lecheres V'Tzarech Yeshechor Div Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir Omer Einu Tzarech. After the Adon knocks out any one of the extremities. So, in other words, he's going to go free. That's a given. Does the Adon also have to write a Geshechor in addition? Machlokas Tanayim. And the Gemara says it's a lot of people are getting into the act. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzarech, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Tzarech, Rabbi Kiva Omer Tzarech. Okay. A lot of Tanayim have expressed the positions on whether or not a Geshechor has to be written in addition to the Eved Kanani going free, meaning the Eved Kanani will go free. That knocked out extremity is a ticket to his freedom. But then the question is, do you actually also have to write out the ticket as well? Do you have to write out the shtar? Machlokas Tanayim, machriyim lifnei hachachamim, and then the compromisers. So in come the compromisers, and they say the following. Now you know what the compromisers are going to do. Compromisers do what they always do. They compromise. So Omrim near and Divrei Rabbi Tarfon b'shein v'ayin shatar zichzalo. Divrei Rabbi Kiva b'shari v'arim hoel and kanas chachamim hu. Okay. So if the Aldo knocks out shein v'ayin, no star needs to be written. If the owner knocks out any one of the other extremities, so then a star has to be written. Why? Because it's a kanas. The Gemara almost loses its mind. What are you talking about? Kanasu cry kadarshinan. Kanas sounds like it's some sort of rabbinic punitive fine. Like, what are you talking about? It's a drasha. So the Gemara says, Elohol majush chachamimu. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's a drasha. But still, what we can do is we can contrast something that is said beferish ofana in the pasuk versus something that's learned out via drasha. Okay. Really, really lengthy discussion over here. I'm just going to touch on it. And that is there really going to be any qualitative difference whatsoever whether something is said beferish in the pasuk versus whether it's learned through a drasha? And by the way, when I say drasha over here, we know what drasha is used. It's the drasha of klal prat klal or ribui miyot ribui. Either way, in other words, is there really any kind of qualitative difference in terms of the sourcing of that halacha? Meaning, ostensibly, they're both da'araisa. Is there a difference between the two? So there is. Let's just simply say, a big discussion on this. We're going to go on. Now, my time with the Rabbi Shimon, Yalif. Shiluach, shiluach, miisha, maisha bishtar, af eved nami bishtar. So now, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that even if you get your Rashi Evarim knocked out, you still need a shtar. Why? Because of the connection between Shichur Eved Kanani and Gedisha. Now, Gedisha, how does she exit the marriage? How is she freed from the marriage? Only one way and one way only. Shtar. Same thing is true regarding an Eved Kanani and his Shichur. Even though you knocked out an Eved, even though he will go free, you still need to write the Shtar. Rabbi Meir, he cuts off chafshi lebetzof kedekamar. Now Rabbi Meir will counter and say, look, if it said chafshi, and at the end, so then I'm with you. But how should the cuts of the chafshi yishachenu havalei chafshi mikara? So the fact that it says the chafshi yishachenu, meaning when you knock out a shein ayin, chafshi, freedom, period. In other words, the word chafshi is inserted first, telling me that he's free. And now, obviously, once you're free, no need to write a get shichur. Okay. Tanaru Rabbanan. Okay. I like to go on, but at the same time, I'm looking at the time. We're almost caught up. We did great today. Baruch Hashem. We did really good. Today's daf is Chavdal. We made it to the midpoint of Chavdal Amid Beis. Okay. Quick recap. Okay. So far today, what we did is that we finished up Chav Gimel. And the Gemara there went over how a Nevekanani is Kones Atzmo. So it could either be through Kesef Rishtar, but that's just the beginning. Really, so much detail in terms of who's the recipient of the Kesef, who's going to be the recipient of the Shtar. Is it a Zchus for a Nevekanani to go free, or is it a Chova? Can an Eved acquire something to the exclusion of his owner, or can he not? And a litany of follow-up questions to all those questions. Okay, an extraordinarily large sugya that took us into today's daf. Okay, then, on today's daf, halfway down, so we move to the topic of Yotzei Shein Ba'ayin. And Nevekanani has another way in which he's going to be freed, not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Brisa introduces to it, but even before the Brisa, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The master knocks out a tooth or an eye of the Nevekanani, goes free. It's not just the tooth or the eye, it's any one of the extremities. And how do we know that? We learn it through a drasha. What is the drasha? That was today's daf. Exactly what the how the drasha works. And we finished up today with if you do knock out one of his extremities and he does go free, do you also have to write a get shichur? And on that machlokus amongst the tanayim, the gemara goes over the stadim, the position of Rameir, the position of Rabbi Lazar. Yeah. And Adkan, we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we'll talk about intentionality. That's the beginning of tomorrow's daf. And what kind of, in other words, when you knock an extremity, does it have to be intentionally? In other words, you abused him, you knocked it out. Or what if it was a mistake? Alternatively, what if you're trying to treat him and you knocked it out? That's where we're going to start in tomorrow's daf. Okay, tomorrow morning, just as a technical note, tomorrow morning, so I'm out. I'm going to be traveling, which means that I'm not giving the daf tomorrow morning.